All right, let's go to Jim Barr. Jim Barr up in Sacramento. Jim Barr, 10 years as a San Francisco Giant out of USC. Pitching guru and one of the tough competitors that I know of in the game of baseball. Always enjoy talking with him and seeing him. Jim, how are you this morning?
Doing very good. It's the first week of the baseball season, and baseball's on just about every night now, so I'm doing real good.
You know, we had this little discussion last night about the game, and you've been involved in it as a player, as a teacher. You know, you get in a game last night, and Bumgarner's got nothing, and it's just the game. I guess you can't wait to get out of there. The middle reliever had to take some bumps last night to eat up some innings, but you really have to turn the page in baseball and get ready for the next day. If you don't do that, how do you make it through a season?
Unfortunately, there's going to be days like that. You just hope there are very few and far between. But when they do happen, pretty much what I try to teach young kids is you got to turn a negative into a positive. So you got to try and understand, okay, it was one of those days. What went wrong? How can I correct it rather than dwell on the fact that, I didn't have this, I didn't do that, this didn't work. That's not going to work because you got about 4 or 5 days to get ready for your next one, so you've got to have a short memory.
Now, Jake Peavy goes today. Jim Barr with us. Jake, of course, missed the start in the middle of the week, and that got Heston up here, who did beautifully, and he'll pitch tomorrow. I'll ask you about him in a second. But Peavy hasn't really pitched since spring training, and, he had the dead arm down there, and then he had the back injury. What would you expect out of him today in a major league game at major league speed, going back to the place that he grew up and won a Cy Young?
Well, I think early on in the season right now, the one thing you're trying to feel the most is not so much what your stuff is going to be like, because after, especially Jake's been around long enough, that you know if you don't have this, you go to that. You don't try to make something happen. You try to accommodate another pitch if something's not working. But the biggest thing, I think, early on in the season is what you're trying to feel, is at least feel comfortable. You're trying to feel a rhythm. And if you have your rhythm and you feel like you can make things happen, what happens sometimes is your hips get a little – maybe get a little slow, your arm feels good, your arm feels a little slow, the hips feel good. You're trying to get everything to work together. Pitching-wise, you've been around long enough, you know what to do there, you know where you have to throw the ball. It's just when you haven't pitched, to me, the biggest thing is rhythm and just trying to feel consistency. When you start battling yourself and you've got pitches going up, you've got pitches going down, in and out, and sometimes not exactly where you want them to go, that's one thing that I think early on in the season that you battle the most is the consistency.
Yeah, really. Well said. It's interesting you said that and you used the word rhythm. I talked to Dave Dravecki last week, and we talked about bad springs and then starting off well during the year. And he said, once I got my rhythm, and that was the issue, once I got my rhythm, I knew what I could do, and then it was just a question of repeating it. But that's the same word he used, was rhythm.
Yeah, you're trying to, I've always said, you pitch under three conditions. A third of the time, and give or take, but a third of the time, you don't feel like you've got your best stuff. Something doesn't feel right, but you still have to go out there and compete. You know what you have to do as a pitcher to get hitters out. Another third of the time, you go out there and you feel real strong. You feel like you're going to throw the ball through the catcher. Now you have to learn how to pitch when you feel real strong and don't try to overthrow the ball. And then the other third of the time, you're going out there trying to pitch, and it's just a normal day. You do what you have to do. So all those conditions come into effect. A lot of times, the catcher would come up to me before the game and say, okay, Jim, how do you want to pitch these guys? Well, you basically know what you want to do. You see them enough. There's a few scouting reports, at least back today. They've got so many stats on everything, what hitters do. But back when I said, I don't know before the game, I said, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to feel today. I might not have a curveball, so we'll have to throw more fastballs or vice versa. So to me, rhythm and just feeling the consistency, whether I have a good fastball or not, or you're always going to be within a small range of what you normally are anyway. And just being able to control a breaking ball or an off-speed pitch, it's a consistency because the hitters know what you're going to do too. And sometimes it's not always a matter of trying to fool the hitter. because they know what you're going to do. And a lot of times I don't care if the hitter knows what I'm going to do, because if I can hit my spots and he knew I was going to throw a fastball and I throw a fastball 3 inches off the plate, in his mind he's already got that, yep, I knew he was going to do it, so I'm going to chase it. And he starts chasing bad pitches. So that's what I hope for.
Very good. Jim Barr, a pleasure. I always learned so much baseball from you. In your day, was there a lot of shifting going on behind you? Today, I mean, you could watch the Pirates. They shift almost every batter. The Giants shifted on Will Myers earlier in the series and saved the base hit up the middle. Did you, your teams get involved with shifts?
We didn't do shifts too much, although maybe there was times where we probably should have, but we didn't do too much. It was just, you pitched accordingly. I mean, they might, you know, 3-4 steps, but as far as putting two guys on one side of the infield, you know, three guys on one side of the infield, no, I don't ever remember that happening. You just, if a guy was going to put the ball there, then you made sure you put the ball a little bit extra in a different position where he couldn't hit the ball that way. So, yeah, things have changed a lot. And part of that is because, like I said, there's so many stats now on what hitters will do. You have a real good feeling of what's going to happen.
Mm. Jim, Chris Heston pitched the other night in Peavy's spot when he couldn't go on Wednesday. Did you get to see the game at all?
I saw about most of it, yeah.
Well, I just want to get your analysis of Heston. He's 27. He's thrown 800 innings in the minor leagues. He came up here over the winter, put on some weight, a little better fastball. What was your take on him on Wednesday night?
I was really impressed with how much his fastball moves. I mean, when you have a fastball that moves as much as it was moving that night, I mean, why do you even need to throw a breaking ball? He was being able to make his fastball move that much in on hitters, away from left-handers, backdoor to right-handers. When you can do that, I think I've always said you can go out there with one pitch. You can go out there with just a fastball and be successful and win, but you got to have really good control by doing it, or having that ball move like that. So I knew he was amped up a little bit. I mean, it's naturally. It's early in the year. It's his first game he pitched this year. So I think he was amped up, but I'm really impressed with the way, you know, he handled. The one thing is, you're going to make bad pitches. Things are going to happen. But then again, like we talked about, short memory. You got to say, okay, hey, that's a bad pitch. Wow. And then have confidence that you're going to come back and make good pitches. And that's exactly what he did. He was able to get out of some situations and go long enough and have a great outing.
Yeah, well, he gets to go tomorrow in one of the biggest days of the year, a dramatic day, an exciting day, and a day that you'd like to keep the crowd behind you. It is opening day. Did you make opening day starts? I don't think I've ever asked you that before.
Yeah, I you know, to be honest, I know I made one I know of, and that was opening day down in San Diego, 10 innings. I went all 10 innings, and what happened was we got rained out the first 2 days of the season, so I said, well, shoot, I can't take a chance and sit around for 3 days and not throw. So I threw a bullpen the day before, a light bullpen the day before, and then the rains eased up. We played the third day, and Randy Jones and myself, and we won 2-0 in 10 innings. I went to all 10 innings. So it was one of those days where everything just clicked.
All right. I bet that game was like an hour and 59 minutes, too.
Yeah, we played a little quicker back then. Of course, with Randy Jones,
yeah,
too, and myself, I was quick, too.
All right. Hey, you've always been very analytical about Tim Lincecum. You've said a lot of things about him over the couple of years. Friday night, he goes out there, and the fastball didn't push it too hard, maybe 89, if that, but the changeup was a little bit less than normal, didn't get in a lot of trouble. What was your impression of Lincecum on Friday night?
I thought, you know, I've always said the speed of the fastball, if you're going to lose a mile or two, that's fine. You just got to have good location with it. Because, I mean, I've seen guys up there that have thrown 84, 85 and still be successful. You just got to have good location. And I thought, and I've always thought with his fastball, and people go, well, his fastball's down 2 miles an hour. He's only throwing 89. Well, so what? If he hits spots with it, that's what counts. And then if you can have the deception with his split and his curveball too, which were good, I'd like to see him throw a few more strikes with his fastball to help set up his curveball and his split. But San Diego's always had a tendency against Timmy to chase the stuff out of the zone, the breaking balls out of the zone, and that's what they were doing. He was very good with it and staying with it in the right times, and he had a great outing.
Yeah, he did. Now, last night, Bumgarner, the opposite end of the coin, the ball was flat. He got two strikes, and so many people couldn't put him away.
Yeah, I thought that's exactly what I thought. I thought, wow, he looks like he's throwing fairly hard, sometimes harder than what I've seen him throw. But his ball was a little flat. It was kind of on one plane. As soon as it left his hand, it stayed on that same plane, and they were able to get to it. And it was, you know, it's one of those games. You have a bad day, you have a bad day. We all know he's going to have a lot more better days.
Boy, the first week of the season, you look at Kershaw, big ERA, Bumgarner, big ERA. The team has played, you know, here's the question, I guess. I watch them in spring training. They can't do anything right. They're throwing balls all over the place. The starters can't get out of the third inning without giving up four or five runs. And I'm telling you, opening night, all of a sudden you watch the way they play. They look like a different team. What is it about Major League Baseball that spring training is one thing, but, boy, the season starts and you look like a different team?
You know, part of it, Marty, is just that, well, as coaches we try to do too. We try to teach focus. You got to focus on what you're doing. Again, if you give up two hits, no big deal. You know, if you don't win or lose games based on how many hits you get, you win or lose games based on how many guys touch home plate. And so during spring training, again, you're trying to feel rhythm. You're trying to hit spots. You don't really have that fine-tuned focus that you would during the season. You're trying to do other things. And now when the season starts, you go, okay, now it's for real. Now I got to make this pitch a little bit better. You have a little bit better focus. And I think, you know, guys have been around for a little bit. They can do that. They can say, okay, spring training is to do this, do that. But when the season starts, there's only one thing that counts, and that's getting out. So they tune up that focus a little bit better.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, before we let you go, our trivia question today involved winning an MVP of the season, the year, and also of the All-Star game, and the only Giant ever to do it was Willie McCovey in 1969. And we talk about Mays a lot, and we talk about all sorts of baseball. Maybe McCovey doesn't get his due as to the type of hitter he was. Now, 521 home runs, but you played with him at some period of time and against him for that era. What was it about Willie McCovey as a hitter?
He was, I mean, you knew he had the power. You knew he could gonna hit the long ball, but it was that strength that he had. Whether he hit the ball in the air, it was especially, he might hit one through you on the ground before you even blink your eye. And he just had that ability to, you know, some hitters have the power, but you say, well, if I pitch the ball here, they're not gonna have as much power. You know, they might hit a, might get him to hit a fly ball the other way because they're trying to pull it. McCovey, he was a pull hitter all the way, and it didn't matter if it was going to be in the air or on the ground. Like I said, he put that fear in the fact that he was going to hit the ball real hard, and you just hope that it was on the ground and not in the air.
Pull hitter all the way, huh?
That was my opinion of him. I mean, when I tried, and then of course me, the way I tried to pitch, I pitched left-handers away, away, away. And so now I'm thinking, okay, if I pitch him away and he hits that ball hard back up the middle, man, I'm going to be in trouble. So it's like, okay, do I take a chance and try to jam him and miss and have him pull one? Or do I just stay away and hope my ball sinks and he swings over the top of it? Cause I think I faced him, I think I want to say he was with San Diego for
yes.
3 or 4 years.
Yes.
So I had to face him during that time.
Wow. Hey, great to have you on with us. Will we see you out at the park this week?
This week I won't be able to make it. We've got games at the high school level, plus I'm going to be busy. I'll be in the Bay Area at my daughter's house in Dublin working, doing all kinds of jobs at her house, but I won't be able to make it to the park this week.
All right. What kind of high school ball are you doing?
Up here in Granite Bay, if you can believe it, I'm the outfielder's coach.
I can believe that. Why not?
So they had to hire a full-time pitching coach, but now once I'm out there all the time anyway. So I enjoy teaching the outfielders. My biggest thing is that I teach the outfielders as a pitcher, but when the ball's hit in the air, you better catch it.
I like that, and you better throw to the right base. Talk to Angel Pagan
exactly.
About that. I've seen a few too many throws to the wrong base and runners moving up. He should know better than that.
Giving runners an extra 90 feet can hurt you a lot of times.
Yeah. Hey, great to have you on as always. Love talking ball with you, and I'll see you out when you get to the park.
You bet, Marty. Thank you.
All right, that is Jim Barr, former San Francisco Giant.